John's Gospel, chapter 18. Commencing, please, at verse 28. And we're reading through to verse 5 of chapter 19. John 18, at verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now from now on, you have scenes outside and inside. So we are going outside now. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Now we're going inside. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? Now we're going out. When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Going inside now. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. They put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Going out now. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. From the garden now, the Lord is entering the last mile. somber scenes marked by pathos lie before him. The ground is holy. Very difficult for us to enter into all that it was meaning to Christ. Here you have before you the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth going down to the waters of Jordan. As the Ark of the Covenant in John's Gospel, he is declaring the love of God to men. He is the Ark of the Testimony. You will recall in your Old Testament that the Ark is called the Ark of the Testimony in the wilderness, but not over the Jordan in the land. Testimony has always to do with earth. So as the Ark of the Testimony, he is declaring all that God is. He is the Ark of Jehovah, bringing God near to man. You will remember that the waters of Jordan went back before the Ark of Jehovah. You will remember that the walls of Jericho fell before the Ark of Jehovah. You will remember that Dagon fell before the Ark of Jehovah. It's the strength and power of Christ to subdue every enemy and to defeat the power of death. The Ark, wood overlaid with gold. In John, the glory of a divine person in human conditions. He will go through everything for God's glory and secure everything for the pleasure of God. In all probability, along a different line, our brother Leckie will bring this before you in the burnt offering. And then you turn. And from surveying the majesty of Christ going down to death, stately, dignified, glorious, you turn to watch how men abused God's Son. Everywhere he goes, they're abusing him. You will notice last night before Annas that in verse 22, the servant of the high priest struck him. Brethren, don't forget, the first blow came from a Jew. You'll remember he was taken to Caiaphas. There they spat on him. The vile spittle of man rested upon his patient cheek. They struck him. They slapped him. And they said, "Prophesy, thou Christ, who smote thee." Then they took him to Herod. Oh, this is tremendous. Herod, the man that killed the Baptist. The Baptist died because he rebuked Herod about the other woman in his life. And when he goes to Herod, they treat him with utter contempt. They make sport of him. He's nothing to them. Brethren and sisters, have you ever noted that Herod's the only man that Christ refused to speak to in the Gospels? This man that was sensual, this man that was seeking sensations, longing to see a miracle, Christ had nothing to say to him. And if Christ has nothing to say to any man, he's as good as damned. And then they take him to Pilate. And Pilate scourges him. Whips him. You might stand and ask, tell me why. Why is it that a sinless person so glorious and majestic should suffer like this? I'll tell you. I'll give you three reasons for it. He suffers like this because he's God, manifest in flesh. Don't forget it. These scenes teach that men hate God. The mind of the flesh is enmity against God. It's natural enmity coming out. And because he's God, manifest in flesh, he suffers like this. Secondly, he suffers like this because this is Satan's hour. And the power of darkness. Satan has lined up every battery against him.
He hates Christ with a venom that's deep and lasting. Revelation 12. He stood at the birth of Christ waiting to devour him. Matthew 2, he slaughtered the innocents to get at him. And now he's bringing every force and battery to bear upon Christ. It's their hour and the power of darkness. Thirdly, he's suffering like this because shortly he will make atonement for human sin. Therefore sin must be manifested and seen to be there at the cross and the events before it. Here this one goes down under the deluge of divine wrath and bows his head before the storms and the winds of God and puts away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Tremendous, tremendous hours were these that we are about to consider. Now please, verse 28. They took him. Did these religious men. But they won't go inside, lest they be defiled. Isn't that right? Verse 28. Lest they should be defiled that they might eat the Passover. They hadn't eaten it up until this moment. Now, I'm quite well aware of all the technical reasons that are given why they hadn't eaten it. I just want to be very simple and straightforward in it tonight. And I'm not going to get into any other reasons. I want to say this. These men, in all their religious hatred, were so busy trying to get rid of Christ, they hadn't time to eat the Passover. They had to wait for Judas to come. They couldn't move without him. They had to go to the garden to see the betrayal. They had to go to arrest Christ. They had to call the Sanhedrin. They had to look out for false witnesses. They had to arrange the trial. They had to put Christ to death. They hadn't time to take the Passover. Watch. Watch. These men, to them, ceremonial cleanness is far greater than moral cleanness. Have you got it? They won't go inside to Pilate's place lest they might be defiled. But they've got murder in their hearts. They're bloodthirsty. They're going to take Christ and kill him. Notice more, please. Will you notice that little phrase in the center? It was early. That means it was early in the morning. Now think of it. These men had been up all night to get rid of Christ. Oh, what a contrast to disciples. Listen to what the Lord said. Can you not watch 1 hour? 1 hour? And these men spent all night hounding Christ to death. Oh, the zeal of those who go in for what's evil. Oh, what they'll put into it against us who profess to have the truth. Isn't that right, brethren? Listen. Two young women, Jehovah's Witnesses, come round our way from time to time. Do you know that these young women only work 3 days a week? That's all. They only work enough to get enough money to keep themselves. No more. And they spend the rest of the week distributing their poisonous literature. Eh? Come on. Come on now, please. Would you work half a week to give the rest to distribute tracts? Can you see? Oh, God knows we know nothing about it. They'll sacrifice in the devil's work. And we'll sit back comfortable and easy with our feet up at the fire, singing Rescue the Perishing and Care for the Dying. And the world's dying at our side without a hope to cheer the tomb. Brethren, waken up, will you? Blood red sacrifice is what's needed. There it was. Now come with me now, please, quickly. They wouldn't come in, so Pilate went out. Verse 29. He asked them a perfectly legitimate question. He says, what accusation do you bring against them? What's the charge? Give us the indictment. Now watch the answer. Verse 30. These men say, if he were not a malefactor, an evildoer. The word malefactor just means evildoer. If he were not an evildoer, we wouldn't have brought him to you. Now you get the implication of that. What they're saying is this. Listen, Pilate, cut out the talk. Get this man sentenced without a trial. They're posing to be righteous, self-righteous. They're saying, we're righteous men. We wouldn't bring him here if he was innocent. They're wanting a sentence, a conviction without evidence.
And they're saying to him, now listen. Listen now. We wouldn't have brought him here. And if you're not careful, Pilate, there'll be a riot in your hands.
For they had a big crowd with them, Luke tells us.
And Pilate, if you got a riot in your hands over this business, there'll be a lot of awkward questions asked at Rome. Pilate, verse 31. He takes the place of the judge now, and he says, all right then, if it's an internal matter about your law, you take him and judge him. Now that's feasible. Now watch the answer, please. They turned to Pilate and they said, the close of verse 31, it is not lawful for us to put him to death.
To put any man to death, did you get that? They're out for Christ's death. That's all they wanted. They didn't want a trial. They wanted a conviction and a sentence without witnesses and without evidence.
They said, listen,
we wouldn't have brought him to you if we could have put him to death.
We haven't the right to do it. You'll need to do it. Now somebody says, just a minute, hold. What about Stephen?
They hadn't the right to kill Stephen either. That was mob rule.
Now, come now, please. Verse 32. John makes an explanatory statement. Says John, when that saying of Jesus, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, signifying what death he should die. You see, if these people had the right to put him to death, they would have stoned him. But in order to fulfill the words of Christ and prophetic scriptures, he had to be crucified. And when it says signifying what death he should die, that refers to chapter 12. When you remember, the Lord Jesus said this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Do you remember Deuteronomy 21? If it be that a man sin and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. Cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. He must be crucified. That there, to fulfill prophetic scripture, Christ would die and bear the curse that was due to us. Yes, signifying what death he should die. Verse 33. Now, we are inside. Pilate says to him, thou art the king of the Jews. So some renderings put it. Art thou the king of the Jews? Verse 34. Jesus doesn't answer him directly. Now why should Pilate say, art thou the king of the Jews? Well now, according to Luke 23 verse 2, they brought three accusations against Christ. One, they said, this fellow perverteth, that means leads astray the nation. Two, he forbids tribute to Caesar. Three, he claims to be a king. Now that was all lies, a tissue of lies. He did not lead the nation astray. He called it back to God. He did not forbid to give tribute to Caesar. He says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. When they wanted to make him a king, John 6, he disappeared. Pilate takes this up. He says, art thou the king of the Jews? Now, watch how the Lord answered. He says, verse 34, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did someone tell it thee of me? Now why does he answer like that? Here's the reason. If the Lord had said, yes, I'm a king, Pilate would have misunderstood. He would have thought that he was a rival to Caesar. Pilate would have been misled. If the Lord had said, no, I'm not a king, then he would have thrown doubt on his true kingship. So he looks, and he says to Pilate this. Now listen, Pilate. Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Is this a song that rises in your heart, or is it an echo? Song or echo? Pilate, when you say, thou art the king of the Jews,
Is this a conviction wrought in your soul as to the royalty and sovereignty of my person? Or are you only parroting what somebody else has said? Have you heard somebody else talking? Is your faith second-hand? Is your conviction first-hand and real or otherwise?
Verse 35. Pilate evades the question. He says, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What hast thou done? Would you notice something? Would you notice that Pilate is confirming that the nations and the leaders have rejected Christ?
All thought, finally and completely, of a throne and a kingdom has gone.
Gone completely. Now look at verse 36.
What's this?
Two men stand face to face. Christ, the King of Kings, and Pilate, the representative of Imperial Rome. What do you think the subject is? The subject under consideration is the King and the Kingdom. Amazing, isn't it? In John 4, the Lord spoke to an unconverted woman about the subject of worship. In John 18, he spoke to an unconverted man about the subject of the King and the Kingdom. The Lord goes back to his question, art thou the King of the Jews? Listen to this. Watch it hammered home. Please drop your eye, verse 30. My kingdom, my kingdom, my kingdom. Can you see him standing facing Pilate, representative of the Roman Empire? Three times over, he flings it at Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my kingdom is not from hence. Listen, Pilate, I've got a kingdom. But it's nothing like Rome's kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. Doesn't say it wasn't in the world. He said it's not of this world, nor does it take character from the kingdoms of earth. Pilate, listen. If my kingdom were a purely material kingdom, physical kingdom, my servants would have fought for my release. But it was the very opposite of that. In the garden, he said, put thy sword up into the sheath. He didn't try or ask them to defend him at all. He says, my kingdom is not from hence. He would indicate at least two things. That his kingdom, while it was going to be formed of people in this world, was a spiritual kingdom. Is that right? We're in the kingdom. Now the kingdom is spiritual. Is that right? Pilate, my kingdom will be marked by righteousness. All around. Now listen carefully, for I'm talking present as well as past. All around, everything in the world and in the kingdoms of men, it's false. It's unrighteous. It's marked by tyranny and injustice. Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Brethren and sisters, we belong to a king and a kingdom that doesn't belong to this world. And when he says it's not from hence, maybe he gives a flash forward to a coming kingdom when the Lord will reign for 1,000 years. Verse 37. Pilate says, art thou a king? And the Lord answers and he says, thou sayest that I am a king. No, I think what he means is this. Pilate, you've said it. I think he's confirming what Pilate says. Yes, Pilate, I'm a king, sovereign, royal, imperial. Listen, Pilate, to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that as I should bear witness to the truth. Stop, brethren. Have you noticed that the Lord connects the kingdom with truth? It's a kingdom of truth. Have you got that? In contrast to the falseness of every political system that's around us.
Notice too what he says. To this end was I born, humanity. For this cause came I, deity. He came into the world via the virgin birth, born to be a king. Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, who shall be ruler, governor in Israel, potentate. That's it. To this end was I born. For this cause came I, stepping from Godhead glory into this world, that I might bear witness unto the truth. Yes, that I might display truth to men. That I might bear witness to truth in every aspect, as to God, as to men, as to salvation, as to sacrifice, as to administration. Every great redemptive truth, I have come to bear witness to it. Pilate, every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. That found Pilate out, for he's probing his conscience. Verse 38. Pilate says, what is truth? He's cynical. And he turns away. You know what I think he's saying? I think in the midst of his cynicism and his skepticism and his scorn, he's saying, truth? Kingdom of truth? You've come to establish a kingdom based in truth in a world of corruption like this? You've had it. You'll never do it. Can't be done. And this is Pilate, the Roman governor, talking. Isn't that right? Look around you, brethren and sisters. Absolute, well-nigh, total corruption. Can you wonder that an ordinary man should be skeptical and cynical about a man talking about a kingdom of truth in a world like this? And he walked out. Pilate, in the light of that, says, I find no fault in him at all. I clear him judicially, criminally, in every way. Now, come now, please, verse 39 and 40. Now, John's being very selective. And he's passing over much. And we come now to the custom at the Passover. He says, we have a custom I should release unto you, a prisoner. Shall I release unto you the King of the Jews? Now watch, please. He's treating Christ now as if he was guilty. Do you remember Matthew puts it like this? Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? Two men are standing. Barabbas, Son of the Father. Christ, Son of the Father. Two representative men whose claims beat upon our lives from the cradle to the grave. The first man and the second. The natural and the spiritual. The ordinary and the extraordinary. The human and the divine. Whom will I release unto you, Barabbas? Christ. To Pilate's amazement, they cried again and again, not this man, but Barabbas. Barabbas the thief, Barabbas the murderer, Barabbas the rebel, Barabbas the man that stands for assault and battery, the world made its choice. Barabbas, not Christ. I hope you won't take objection to this. Somebody once did. Let me go forward, and Christ is on the cross. Down there, there's a crowd of people standing watching. Among them is Barabbas. He nudges his fellow. He says, see that man on the center cross? Yes. That man's taking my place. He's dying where I should have died. Is that not true physically? wasn't it?
Where Barabbas should have died, he died.
Physically, he took Barabbas' place.
Brethren,
with clearer vision and greater insight and with a faith that is real, I turn mine eyes to the cross and I say to you tonight, brethren and sisters, he took my place. He died for me.
There are some hymns that move me deeply. There's not many, but there's a few. One of them is this. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Shall I tell you another? O Calvary, dark Calvary, where Jesus shed his blood for me. O Calvary, bless Calvary. 'Twas there my Savior died for me. Is there someone in the building tonight without Christ? Come on. Will you make your choice tonight? It's Christ or. In that day it was Christ or Barabbas. For Pilate it was Christ or Caesar. Come friend tonight, if you're sitting in here without a Savior, unforgiven and unblessed, tell me in God's name, it's Christ or. Will you take him tonight? Lift your hat, will you? Oh God, I'll take Christ now. Will you do it? Saved! Saved.
Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Oh God, we'll never know. We'll never know what it meant.
Leather thongs,
studded with pieces of bone and lead that ripped the body, lacerated it,
exposed the arteries and the veins. Men have been known to die under it. Oh, the cruelty of man's heart. Oh, how vicious men are. Oh, how savage and cruel are men. Oh, these people that live in the jungle of violence and sin. They scourged them. They made long their furrows, and they put a crown of thorns upon his head. For they wanted to mock him, and that would do. And they wanted to torture him, and they sunk the spikes into him, and the blood flows down the Christ. And they put on him a purple robe, and they came up to him, and they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And as they each went past, they slapped him with their hands. Oh, how heaven remained silent, I'll never know. Oh, the grace of God and the patience of the Christ. The whole of heaven's looking over its battlements at the Lord of glory and the Sovereign of the skies as men abuse him. Bow the knee in mockery. Look at him, will you?
Crown of thorns, one day he'll wear a crown of glory. Crown of diadems. A purple robe, one day he'll have robes dipped in the blood. A reed in his hand, and one day he'll wield the scepter.
Over the nations. Lift your eyes, will you? Pilate says, I'll need to close.
Pilate says, Behold the man. See the Christ.
Lift your eyes and gaze upon him who shortly on lone Golgotha's tree will bow his head and die for your sins. Look, behold, see the man. I can't tell you how I feel. Brethren and sisters, I've learned to love a man I've never seen. To love the man that took it all for me, and in changing my destiny, changed my life. Gladly I'll follow him right through to the cross. We'll be coming to it. The lights are lowering. The shadows are lengthening. It's becoming increasingly darker. And down and down and down he'll go, right to the dust of death. Glorious Lord, blessed Saviour, Prince Divine, we bow before thy suffering glory.